Welcome to Dialadoric, everyone. Brothers, sisters, what's the matter? They're twist offs.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. All right, anyway.
Here's a good question. Can you get this off without using it?
Can you get it off without... Oh. Matt has... I think it's Fermat's fourth theorem.
Fermat, yeah, it could be, indeed.
It's actually Ferment's.
Ferment's
fourth theorem is, can you get the popper topper off without using it?
And I think that you cannot, actually.
Anyway, we are joined live here tonight in my basement with Dork Almighty.
Porn and IMAX do not mix.
Always a pithy remark to start the show from Dork Almighty. And it is a binary, looks like a binary operation tonight.
we are the binars.
What?
We are the binars.
binary. I'll be zero, you be one.
Does that mean I always have to tell the truth and you always have to lie?
You'll be Obi-Wan Kenobi. And I'll be...
You'll be Darth Zero.
Commander Zero. I don't know.
General Zero.
Commander Zero of the Null Force.
Kneel before Zero.
Kneel before Zero. All right, so let's see.
Tonight's show brought to you proudly by Molson Triple X.
Brought to you by Molson Triple X Super Premium Beer, only 7.3% alcohol by volume.
No preservatives. Those Canadians don't need to be preserved.
It's somewhere between Fraternity Brother and Bum.
Yeah, somewhere about there.
Yeah, that's where I think this beer is. It's pretty tasty, though. It's also brought to you tonight by Reduced Fat Pringles Sour Cream and Onion. 30% less fat than regular Pringles.
But none of that trans shit.
No trans fats.
No trans fats, which means no loose ass.
Let's not kid ourselves, Matt.
Right.
These aren't good for you.
Why do you think I brought them? I brought beer and Pringles.
Well, I ate some shrimp tonight that tasted kind of shrimpy and fishy.
Great.
And then I'm going to drink some of this Molson beer and some of these Pringles. Yeah. And I'm going to shit a Wendy's Frosty later.
I can say. That's going to be one weird tasting Frosty. I just want to say that. Shrimp, sour cream, and onion, and beer.
My laptop is currently still recreating the swap file and hibernation file as it crashed on coming out of hibernation. So I rebooted.
Maybe you should just not hibernate it.
It actually works pretty well of hibernation, but not this time. Oh, and I went by our friends in the flats with a USB-based video capture device.
Cool.
Connected to their DVD player.
Yeah.
And I wrote down the procedure, the number of keystrokes and everything to put it on repeat. So,
beautiful.
Good times.
Did you type that up and put it on the wall next to the unit?
I wrote it down by hand on a piece of paper and set it on top of it with the remote.
Close enough. That may not be a laminate-worthy piece of instructions anyway. So what do we got today?
I have some tales from the dork side.
Cool. We both have tales from the dork side.
We all have some tales from the dork side. We actually did a job, all four members of the comm group together, billing per man hour.
I just want to ask one question.
Yeah.
Is that the first time all four members of the comm group have done a job together?
I can't think of another.
I cannot either. I think that's a landmark occasion. We should buy a plaque.
It was, and I just want you guys to remember when you're sitting at work experiencing drudgery, how much fun we had and how time flew.
I just remember how creeped out Dan was with the ashes.
That wasn't good.
Yeah, that was a little creepy.
In fact, I went there yesterday also.
Yeah.
To reboot a server, and I also fastened it to the rack just for fun. I did it inside, like on the inside screw hole.
So now it's on an angle? Is it?
I managed
to line it up?
I took a piece of network cable and I just wedged it underneath the back. And so now it's now
101
it's
uses for Ethernet.
Actually, it was one of those like old ones. Old like IP phone ones they had. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It's not on an angle. Everything's fine.
What was the deal with the server, by the way?
The server was definitely had some issues, namely... That the, and I assume no one's listening,
namely.
Well, let's just say that it crashed.
Okay, fair enough.
Let's just say that it crashed.
We did what we could to keep them up and going, but it wasn't, you know.
There, so much of the, I think it was all of the turning on and off of the network.
Yeah.
That finally did it in.
I believe that.
So it crashed, and I had to get the password and then reboot it.
Understood.
And it was a fairly robust password. And it had letters, both capital and lowercase.
And numbers.
Digits and punctuation.
No way. Special
and
characters.
And it was 9 characters long.
Jesus. We don't even require that at the bank.
Great. So
8 characters.
Yeah, well, anywho. So that was... That was what's going on in Japan with those Japanese.
We did fine work. You should take pictures next time you're back there.
Well, no, both Franny, yeah, who's like the office manager, and yeah, Marilyn,
yeah,
who you did not meet, I don't believe.
I only
She's
saw the people that were
president of the company.
Oh, cool. Okay.
They both were happy with what they saw. Real happy. And everything pretty much came back up except this one server, which was not critical, but it was important to them. It basically collected phone data and produced reports. So they could live, and it wasn't collecting data for about a day and a half, including like the weekend, like Saturday, Sunday, and part of Monday. Biggest.
Well, yeah, that's not so
bad. And then
I'm glad to hear that they thought we did good stuff, though.
I think they were happy.
Good.
And so yeah.
Okay. I am sorry that we were there until 1 and didn't get a chance to go over to the fine.
Well, we still could have gone.
I know, but we had all work except for you on Friday morning. I mean, you still had to work on Friday morning.
I have to work
because
I have to take care of a child, motherfucker.
It's just different kind of work.
Well, you know what? According to some study, a housewife or a homemaker, her labor or his labor is valued at over $135,000 a year. That's more than any of you fucks make.
It's true.
Or me. So, you know, there you go. I don't know if we're going to hear from Tim Wurzel or not tonight. I would assume that he'd be gloating over the Pistons' 4-point win over the Cavaliers. It was a close game. If Danielle Marshall makes a wide-open 3 with about 3 or 4 seconds to go in the game, it could have gone the other way. But then again, you never know.
You don't.
Detroit could have scored a bucket, too, and still won the game. So it is what it is. It was playoff basketball, hard-fought, a good game. And a clean game.
Not
a lot of complaining. A well-refed game. Not a bunch of complaining. It was a clean. I think both of these teams are done with that shit, and I think they realize that it's just, you know, mano a mano. Let's go. Let's do this.
Well, and I seem to recall hearing one of the sports newscasters saying something about the Cavs being like 1-11 for their first game of a series on the road.
Like where
they're just, you know, playoff series where they just do not perform well right out of the gate. So,
but they did perform well. They just got beat.
But I understand that. What I'm saying is that the stats say that they just don't win.
Okay.
Regardless of game performance.
That's fine.
So I still think that this is interesting. And that,
okay,
you know, it would be nice if we
beat
the Pistons.
Well, it was a hell of a game, and I was pleased. And I would have preferred to win, obviously, but...
Same here.
You know, that's okay. Got a whole series left to go, basically. For all intents and purposes, Detroit. You know, look. I mean, for all I know, the home team is going to hold serve throughout this entire thing. Hopefully, except in Game 7.
And
if it plays out that way, that means the Cavs would win in 7.
Which would rock.
Which would be great.
Yeah.
But
we should be betting on that game, on that series, shouldn't we?
Why not? I'm not betting on it.
No.
$10? I could,
$20? Whatever.
I could bet. I'll bet that Detroit's a much bigger shithole than Cleveland.
I wouldn't take that bet because it's just true.
All right. Okay. Good. I was about to say. But Tim, we don't have a bare metal question of the week either.
He might still be recovering from his.
That's true.
Bare metaled appendix.
Bare metaled appendix or bare metaled abdomen. So okay. So, what we got? Tales from the Dark Side.
Right.
Pieces of Flair.
We do?
Think.
Okay.
I do.
I can make something up.
Great. We have... I have several Tales from... Let's just jump right in with the Tales from the Dark Side, because we have several.
Okay.
Because there was obviously the four, you know, the rack migration that we did.
Right.
A nice lucrative job for the comm group. All told, like almost 20 hours billed. So that's more than 20, like 22 or something.
Comes up quick when you got four dudes on the job.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it was a lot of work.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
And it was definitely a four-man job.
Yeah. I mean, one person would have probably taken 40 hours instead of, you know.
Well, it would have taken somebody, you know, like a whole week of nights.
Yeah.
One person.
Easily.
And trying to move those servers and stuff would have been really rough.
No chance.
Much
less the UPS is hanging him on the flipping wall.
I did that by myself.
Well,
I did that initially by myself, so I don't know what you guys were doing. You guys boned that royalty.
Don't look at me on that
you
one. That was Miller that and Overton. They were fucking the pooch on that one.
Boned. Royally boned. So, yeah. So what else we got? Okay. Tales from Draw. Today I did something that was really distasteful PC support work.
Really?
Yeah.
Sum up.
I had to install a memory upgrade in an Intel-based Mac Mini.
You know, I read today on Ars Technica about the IBM's next Power PC-based chip, the Power 6, which comes out in its lowest common denominator form at 4.7 gigahertz.
But why so many gigahertz when Intel is getting such phenomenal performance and like efficiency at less than 2 gig or at around 2 gigahertz?
Yeah, but they finally ran the benchmarks on it, and it has doubled all of the current winners in all of the spec int stuff.
So this is IBM doing this?
IBM. They're saying, and it only draws a couple extra watts over its predecessor, which means they managed to, you know, make extreme efficiencies in the pipeline. They're doing a little bit of out-of-order execution, and they've managed to up the frequency without drawing all that much more power off of the bus, which, taken in aggregate, rocked the benchmarks all over the place.
So, someone's calling my business line.
I wonder if that's Overton, maybe. It's a live caller.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Guess who it is?
Is it Overton?
It's Don Larson.
Oh, put him on the air.
I you know what? I got to go get one of the cordless. Will you go get one of the cordless phones?
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
Okay. We might have to put you on the air, Don. We're doing a show right now. You know that, right? Oh, yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. I'm sitting here talking to you on the phone on the air, and there's this quiet pause because nobody can hear you. So I'm just going to have to talk at you without you saying anything for about 2 minutes.
Dude, I don't know where the phone is.
Hey, man, look like on Dory's desk in the dining room, or check the couch, or, you know. This show is crazy. You don't have to jump over to the way. Okay, hold on a second, Don. Just hold on. All right, everybody, hold on a second here. Let's see if we can do this thing here. Don, can you hear me?
I can hear you, sir.
Okay, now hold on a sec. All right.
Put that in front of the.
Yes. Don, say something.
Hey, greetings to the world.
That looks pretty...
Long time since I got to be a guest on this program, but it's great to be back on the air talking to everybody.
Indeed it is. It's great to have you. Your levels look good. So, Don, tell us, is this call for business or pleasure?
This is a combination of business and pleasure. Dial Dork is actually the great guys to be talking to right now, because I'm living in server hell, as you're well aware.
Okay, let's preface things up. Don, without giving away any names or specifics, Don's production... Can I go into this on the show, Don?
Oh, go right ahead. Tell the world how screwed up Don is. Well, I mean, everybody else knows.
So Don's production, your web server?
Yeah, that would be Don's production web server with 95% of my clients on it.
So Don's production web server with 95% of his clients on it was hacked or something, and somebody put some sort of PayPal phishing...
form.
Site or something on there, and he didn't know about it, Although he was curious why, like, the CPU was pegged all the time and everything, but he didn't really know about it till, like, PayPal and eBay complained.
You betcha.
So,
although those complaints came fast and furious, I would like to add.
From all over the world. Now, Don, you have eliminated said PayPal phishing exploit?
I believe I have eliminated the exploits, but I'm not sure that I have all the back doors closed.
Indeed. And you are contemplating simply going with a new server that you can control from the beginning. You simply inherited this server, so...
Yeah, I inherited this box. It
so
turns out that
let's not...
the previous administrator thought administration had something to do with, like, high school.
Sure.
And didn't mean keeping your OS up to date, putting your security patches on it, you know, good password security. He did none of it.
Was this a Windows or Linux box?
This is a Fedora box running Plesk as the CP.
Okay, so you have been had, and you're thinking about buying a new server altogether and just starting over and migrating all the websites over and asserting control from the ground up. And
I already committed to it. I got a dual processor, dual core Xeon box today.
All right, and you're going to be using what OS did you decide? Now, the choice was...
I went with Red Hat 4.4 ES.
Okay, now the choice was Red Hat...
Tell me why.
Well, it was Red Hat CentOS or... What was the other one?
Oh, there was a couple other ones. I think one of the early Fedora ones was also on the list that, you know, would supposedly run with CP.
And there was some other Linux variant.
Maybe Debian?
Oh, Debian, that's what you said. That's right. So you went with the Red Hat.
Yes.
I think that's probably a decent choice because there's some support to be had.
That is exactly why I did it, because when all else fails, I can pay for support.
There you go.
I think maybe it was Ubuntu was another one out there. But.
Okay. Well, anywho, so you've committed to the box. You're going to do it. And I understand that you're going to need some help.
That is an understatement. My gut check is telling me that server migration is somewhere between 60 and 100 hours.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it may be just as simple as moving over a couple of configuration files and the web files.
In theory, it could be. But because again, I inherited this box. Probably 80% of the stuff that's on there is not in source control at the moment. So all that needs to be put into source before you do anything.
All right.
You put all your HTTP folders and your HTTPS folders into source. You still don't have your databases done.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So they all need to be done. Then all the subdomains, all the FTPs, all of that needs to be documented and reset.
Now, I just want to let you know that I don't do documentation. I like to keep what I do a sort of a black box mystery.
Gotcha. So those are part of the project plan.
We are joined tonight here.
Then I want to image current machine.
Well, we are joined here tonight by Dork Almighty, also known as Matt Minar.
Good evening, Don.
I am familiar with His Eminence, Dork Almighty.
Don.
And, Matt is a very, in terms of the comm group, Matt is our Linux. Our Linux ninja black belt guy.
Try to be, anyway.
And I guess what we have to find out is how interested Matt is in getting involved in this project. Because Don here has learned everything he knows about Linux from watching me.
That's incredible!
Which means that he knows next to nothing. I know nothing, and he knows next to nothing. So
/ETH0.
See, like, Matt knows how to do stuff like grep and shit like that.
Yeah, I can actually string commands together, which is the important part.
I really can't do that yet.
So are the DNS addresses for all these websites being run on the machine as well, or is all that information held somewhere else?
That is held in a variety of places, Matt.
That's wonderful.
That has to be documented because, of course, on the new box.
But that's actually
transfer the IP address.
That's probably good news, though, Don.
That's great because then you don't have to. You can maintain production uptime, and then migrate to the new box and do testing on its new IP, and then you can just update the DNS record, you know, through whatever website is running that at the time, whether it be Network Solutions or whomever. And that way you can do a switchover without having to, you know, muck around with your own DNS.
Yeah, you're correct. And, you know, for the whatever 60 or 75 sites on it, you know, probably half of them or more, I've got the DNS management, and the other ones could be everywhere under the sun. GoDaddy, Network Solutions, Register, you name it.
That's
and the other fun one, Matt, of course, is to document all the Turbo SSLs.
You've
and
got.
I can get all those reissued for the new server.
Wow, you've got secure certificates for everything?
Good chunk of them.
Wow.
So, how's my time estimate sounding now, Irv?
Sounding lucrative. I mean, it's sounding pretty accurate.
Actually, it's probably sounding a little bit light because all that stuff you're talking about right now, Don, is administrative stuff that, you know, for the most part, you can probably track down. And then you're right, on top of that, you're going to have another 60 to 100 hours of actual migration work, not to mention testing on the client side, because they're going to want to see it while it transfers, right?
They don't necessarily have to know about it, do they?
Well, we're broadcasting it to the world right now.
The world of all four people.
I don't know about the world. And they don't know who you are. We didn't actually use your... We only used your last name 20 times.
Yeah, thank you, Irv. Thank you, Matt.
No problem.
Since you're wide open listening, honest, let me... I have started a project plan on this.
Okay.
Give you all my major milestones. And you can tell me what I'm missing.
All right, this sounds good. Let's hear it.
All right, let me scroll down. By the way, Irv, you have access to this. It's in the wiki for Server 5.
Oh, great.
Okay.
I'm just hearing a ton of joy.
First major milestone is backing up all source. And there's a number of subtasks for that, as I'm sure you can imagine.
Okay.
Major milestone 2 is domain documentation. DNS, FTPs, subs, SSLs, email references.
Alrighty.
Imaging the whole server so that you've got something to fall back on.
Okay.
Next major milestone is upgrading the CP to the latest version on the old box for migration management.
Because
when you migrate them as a unit, you don't want to migrate from one version to another version. You want to migrate across the same versions. Right?
Sure, why not?
I agree. I'm curious. I can't quite understand. Is that CP or CT? And what is that?
CP, I think it's control panel.
Oh, control panel. Oh, okay, yeah.
Then, of course, I also have to then install Plask on the new server in order to solve my... DNR issues. I'm also going to install a brand new Acronis license on the new server. And then I would actually migrate existing clients to the new server. And, you know, I can easily imagine that if, you know, Irv and Matt here were to geek off on me, you could come up with, you know, 10, 15, 20 subtasks for each one of those major milestones.
What are your databases?
I believe everything is MySQL, but that's one of the things to be documented. Thank you for adding a subtask to the domain documentation.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
Yeah,
I was totally gonna mention that. Interesting. This is a Herculean thing
the wiki
here.
Now, you guys are right. That's another task that's definitely got to be done.
Yeah,
and not to mention that at the very end there, you got to shut them all down and do a dump file to make sure that we get production code.
Well, and the thing there, Don, is also just like you're upgrading your CP when you move across. I am certain that there's probably a bunch of security patches for the version of database server that you have now that you'll probably want to do before you dump to the next one.
Yeah, you're right. That's another thing to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get in. Right.
And who's your SSL certificate authoring agency?
Well, that's a problem.
You don't know?
They've come from a number of places.
Oh, wonderful.
So they're not all the same CA.
Nice. That does add a layer of complication. That's just tedious, though.
Server 5, let me put down install and upgrade.
Ugh.
DB engine on server. If you guys are right, something I forgot.
No, it's not that you forgot. We're just here to help.
Don't be so hard on yourself, Don.
Well, that's one of the reasons it's a wiki, right?
Sure. That's a great point. Very nice. So,
what else have I forgotten in this project?
I don't know. You said things I never would have thought of, like writing stuff down.
But you said, all right, so you said there's FTP going on as well. Is that part of the website's features, or is that just for you to do control stuff?
There's a separate FTP access for every domain.
And what are they, why do the customers have access to that to upload web changes? Or
well, my esteemed business partner sitting 3 feet to the right of me.
Yeah.
As who just gave me a nice poultry symbol from his right hand.
Poultry symbol, I love it, that's great.
What's a poultry symbol?
The bird.
Oh, a bird.
That's right.
I get it now. I'm like, is he doing like shadow puppets or something?
That we should be, again, because we inherited this, there was no policies on FTP access. So clients have had FTP access to their domains. And that is probably should be prohibited going further.
And that's probably where you got hacked through.
Very possible. I mean, if the if the FTP access was exploited on a particular domain, and then they were able to push up some file that gives them an exploit to root.
Yeah, yeah. FTP is notorious for that.
So I say, hey, bravo Zulu to Jeff over here. He's right. You know, if somebody wants access to their own stuff. But we'll get you a dedicated box. It's only got your stuff.
You don't necessarily have to do that, but you need to force them to use either, FTP over SSH2 or secure FTP, some flavor thereof.
I'm hearing you, and that's better access, but still, what if it's compromised locally? You know, it's on a post-it note on their monitor.
True enough. I mean, it is a risk. I'm just, instead of, because you're adding significant cost, just
anyway,
overhead to do all that
on
stuff.
On the other side here is, what should we be looking at for log files in order to see maybe where the exploit was originally inserted? Little forensic stuff. I think this is a good plan for moving forward.
How long do you think that your site's been exploited?
With how fast the eBay types and the PayPal types came down on the data center. I think everything happened yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So how long has your CPU been pegged?
The gates of hell opened up with the complaints. They came from everywhere at once. Hmm. Well, I think it got noticed very quickly.
Is the box running any kind of, firewall on itself, or was it behind any kind of firewall that exposes only the web traffic?
Great question. Okay. No. Well, they're all on, it's the nature of the managed server model.
Yeah.
Every box has a public IP.
Wow.
And it's nice from the standpoint of control. The DC is responsible for power, bandwidth, hardware uptime.
Wow.
If you want to format the hard drive every day, that's entirely your call.
Gotcha.
So that it's 100% managed services on your side. They will not let you in the data center to physically touch your hardware.
Understood.
And they've got a power over Ethernet card in there.
Uh huh.
So that from a control panel, you can actually do a hard restart.
Gotcha.
Speaking of that, I just saw that the prices for KVM over IP have come down, and there is a one port. KVM over IP unit from, I think, Lantronic or something like that.
That's a nice piece of flair.
It's a one port, and it's only $350. Seeing as how like a KVM over IP solution is like up in the many hundreds or a couple of thousands of dollars, that is a really sweet thing to have. It's so much better than a solution like remote desktop or VNC or something, because you can do other than holding the power button down physically, you can pretty much do everything else, including watching, you know, like watching it post and doing BIOS things and all kinds of stuff.
Right, but on a server like this, you don't want to be running any kind of graphical environment. It just would weighs down the machine.
It just reminded me. I just wanted to let people know
that's
some
kind
of thing, you know, that if you're looking for a remote control solution, maybe for your home PC or something like that, or if you're a support person like me, talk one of your clients into it, maybe.
Yeah, that kind of possible.
Thing. But the prices are coming down. So that's awesome. Anyway, please continue, Don. Please.
I'm open for suggestions from you guys on the forensics here. I sure would like to find the guilty party and arrange for a very unfortunate accident to have happen to them on a Russian subway platform.
Now that sounds like a lucrative deal. How much is that worth?
It's going to cost you $50,000.
Matt Minar looking for his 00 license.
Yeah, no doubt. Looking for information like that of how they did what they did has two levels of complexity. One in that depending if they managed to get root and did an exploit of that nature, then likely they covered up their tracks as best they could, and you could really only look at the login logs to find out, you know, when they logged in and such. After that, you're parsing through either the FTP logs to see, look for any unusual activity, or you're looking through, if there's firewall services, you know, you're looking through the IP tables logs, looking for IP addresses that are doing bad things to you. And after that, you're just looking for web traffic that is, you know, consistent from a domain that's probably not, you know, you're looking for the exception, and it's hard. Even over 24 hours, you know, you're sifting through probably a bunch of information with that many websites running there. And it depends, like I said, it depends on what is actually running on the box, if it's got a firewalling going on or not. If it's wide open, your opportunity to do forensics is going to be limited. Although you could play with it to your heart's content on the image that you take from it. You know what I mean? Set up the image in a VM, and then just play with it as much as possible and try to track it down. But I don't know if that's something that you want to sell to your clients or to yourself, because that's time intensive.
Right.
And there's no guarantee of result other than that, all the logs have been poured over. You might not get the answer you're looking for.
Right.
So, Don, are you enjoying yourself as a web hosting provider?
Not today. All right, give me the give me your best bets for lockdown on the new machine. So that I avoid this problem in the future.
6-1 odds. Oh wait, what? Our best bets?
Yes. Talk to me about my next steps.
Your best bets in terms of how long it'll be until you get a hack attempt, or how long it'll be before somebody succeeds. I mean, that's a continuing battle. That, you know, when you're running, you know, a public IP, and depending on how much you lock the machine down, or how much it's possible to do so, the person who exploited you before still has your IP address and still is going to go target your box to see what's going on, and if they can worm their way through, because they did once before, they figure your security's lax, which means that you're open for, you know, a repeat visit.
You bet.
I'm sorry, I know that's bad news, but that's the typical mindset. You know, you stick with what works, and if they're able to get you once, they'll try again, and, you know, depending on how hard they try, you'll either get hacked again or they'll move on and forget about you, which is the ideal situation.
Yeah, one of the things I am doing is at the migration, I am retiring the old machine. So.
Right, but it's not the machine that they're so much going to care about. It's that they managed to get through, you know, on an IP address or on a set of websites, or have discovered that, you know, a certain number of websites are being hosted on, you know, this one box, and if they can't get through one website, they'll, you know, try the other one, blah, 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 depending on the functionality that's available at the sites. Quite honestly, they might have been able to exploit some kind of, you know, website scripting, you know, cross-domain kind of thing where they didn't actually have to get root to the machine. And all they had to do was, you know, upload a form and, you know, have other websites redirect to your box, which is the more likely case. It's all crazy, Don. It's absolutely crazy. And those are, I mean, you know, security audits are huge business. Which isn't to say you shouldn't get into it, because it could be good for you.
You're just filling me with confidence, guys.
We're here to tell you the truth, Don. We wouldn't be good friends and associates if we didn't do it.
Feel better.
Yeah.
It's the dark way.
You can't handle the truth.
That's right. I can't handle the truth.
Yes, you can. You're doing great.
All right. Well, hey, my partners in crime here are threatening to leave the office and go home at this ridiculously early hour of the day. I want to at least harass them for a couple of kind words before departing. So,
all right, dude.
Indeed.
All right. Hey, you guys, finish up with a great show. Thanks for all the advice. Thanks for the comments on the project plan. And Irv, I'll get back to you on this because again, I have no doubt that I'm gonna end up with 15 or 20 tasks under every milestone. And what better person to put them through than one of Cleveland's best dorks?
Thanks, Don. Have a great night with your family.
Enjoy yourself.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Have a great show.
Thanks.
Bye.
What do you think, buddy?
He is really, I mean, he's really biting, he's really bit off a huge piece of work. I mean, that's a lot of stuff, especially if he got hacked. And I mean, hosting is no joke. That's why huge companies do it. Obviously, it's an interesting project.
So, Matt, how much of it do you want to do?
I can certainly dedicate a few nights a week to do it. I just can't dedicate a whole big block of time right off the get-go.
Well, I'm pretty sure that
I'll certainly help with the
project
plan.
We'll be able to bill at the maximum negotiated rate that we have between our company and his company, which is just slightly below our full billing rate. So, you could make some pretty good extra money on this one if you wanted to.
I agree. That's why I'm saying that's why I'm telling you that I'm in. I just can't guarantee huge blocks of time, you know, right
well,
up front.
You know what? If you ask me,
it's going to be, you know, 3 hours in an evening, and then, you know, it might be a couple days before I can get back to it. So I'm totally in for helping out with the project plan, and then I'll take tasks off of that as best I can.
I think that's perfectly fine. I don't think that this needs to be done before the end of July. I mean, I know he'd like it to be done
tomorrow.
ASAP. Well, maybe by the end of, first week of June or something.
Yeah.
But to be perfectly honest, I think this is a project best done little by little. As long as we have good, you know, a good plan and good tracking of progress, then we just have to do it incrementally, step by step.
You know, quite honestly, if Russ were to participate as well, I mean, if we could just, like, get the tasks and then just kind of round-robin them out to people, you know, do this, do that. I mean, Russ is certainly capable of doing it, and I would even say that Amitai is it one, and especially since his last quarter should be finishing
Amitai
up, and he's going to, you know, yeah, I mean,
he needs money. He always needs
money.
He's
a college student. He needs money.
He always needs money.
Exactly.
What about Drew?
I don't think Drew, the answer, man. Drew does not possess the Linux skills, I don't think.
Okay.
He's playing with it, but he hasn't used it.
Look, I know he's further along than I am.
Maybe, maybe not.
I can, I know how to find a file name, a file with a particular name.
See, that's big.
I use a command called find. So,
So anyway.
Yeah, so anyway, back to, there was a pretty lengthy support call, if you will. A tale from the dork side, if you will.
I think we just put to sleep anybody who might be listening.
It wasn't hilarious.
Now and in the future.
I tried to perk it up a little, but...
Not going
to
happen.
Don was pretty... You know, Don's being...
Well, he's got business to do.
Yeah, I understand.
It wasn't really a pleasure call.
Yeah, he said business and pleasure. I don't know what the pleasure was.
It was all his.
I guess so. All right, we love you, Don. Don't worry about it. We're going to try to help you. Or try to help. So let me go back to the most unpleasant.
Where the hell were you at? Yeah.
Most unpleasant tech
That's
task
right.
I've done in a long time.
Intel based Mac Mini.
Yeah, trying to upgrade memory on an Intel based Mac Mini.
Yeah. It's not supposed to be hard.
Oh, it's hard.
Well, do tell then.
Well, so you turn it over.
Yeah.
And there's like this rubberized surface and these little like grate holes.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take two putty knives.
Pop it off.
And when you pop it off, the noise
is it horrible?
Is scary.
Really?
You sound like you're breaking everything.
Nice.
Because there's a whole sequence of these white, you know, push tabs that have to be pried out. And well, I didn't have two putty knives.
So what'd you have?
Well, let's see. I had two metal letter openers.
Oh my god.
And some very small flathead screwdrivers.
You took letter openers and flathead screwdrivers to a Mac Mini.
I did.
That's so
distasteful.
And
then you have to pull off the entire
top.
Like you take the whole lid off, then you have to unscrew the whole like hard drive, fan, and processor, all this whole assembly, take that off, plus take off the antenna, plus disengage it from the motherboard. And then you can get to the memory.
Well, duh. I mean, it's basically a laptop cut into small squares and stacked on top of each other. It's a pain in the ass to work on.
That it is.
Why did they need more memory?
Well, this particular one, even though it came with I don't know if it's a Core 2 Duo or just a Core. I think it's just a Core Duo.
Yeah.
1.66 gigahertz Core Duo, maybe something like that. Mm-hmm. Came with 512 megs of RAM, and it runs on a laptop hard drive, like a 5400 RPM, like 60 gig hard drive or something.
Right.
Well, for whatever reason, this one just ran slower than dog do.
What were they running on it?
They were running FileMaker Pro, the client, Entourage.
I don't know what Entourage is.
Microsoft Office for Macintosh Outlook.
Oh.
Called Entourage.
Why are they using that?
That's what they like.
Okay.
And I found a CD of it in the in their office. So
nice.
So they're using, and so she would have FileMaker, that particular Entourage, Word, Safari, you know. And for whatever reason, it just things would just take. You get the little spinning color wheel a lot.
FileMaker is a big app. It does its best to take as much memory as it can, and from what I understand, makes a heavy use of a swap file. Its own swap file, not necessarily the system swap file.
Well,
so that could you're bottlenecked in a few places there.
I maxed out the RAM at 2 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be helping.
Mm-hmm.
When doesn't it help?
You can go into FileMaker, and in the preferences, it should tell you, it should give you the option for how much memory you allow it to have.
No?
Couldn't find anything like that?
I'm not nodding, no.
Okay.
I didn't look for that.
You should look for that.
I looked at the activity monitor.
Mm-hmm. Nothing?
It wasn't egregious.
But you weren't doing work with it. The files that you're working with in FileMaker are sometimes large.
It wasn't egregious.
Okay.
It wasn't an egregious hog of resources. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I wonder if you can you swap the hard drive out for like a, 7200 RPM laptop model?
Why not?
I don't know. I mean, it sucks more power, right? How much power is available to the whole system?
I'm sure that's just a very small increment in power consumption.
I have no idea.
I'm not worried about it. This should be an improvement.
Agreed. Which version of OS 10 is it? Don't remember.
10.4.6 or something?
Okay.
Pretty recent. If not the most recent.
Did you like it?
What?
The Mac Mini. I mean, you know, I don't know if you've seen them before
it's
or
gorgeous,
sat in front of them.
It's a
and
beautiful little thing.
Them. What kind of monitor do they have?
I got them these Chinese 22-inch widescreen LCDs with 5 millisecond response time.
You get them off of Whoop?
No, I got them at Micro Center for like $225.
There was one on Whoop the other day. It was sold out by the time I checked it at like 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah. I just saw a Vizio 37-inch LCD TV.
Mm-hmm.
I think at, I want to say geeks.com, for $550. That seems insane.
It's awesome. Buy it.
If awesome?
No, that's what happens when you eat Pringles while you're talking on the radio. But they're so good, you can't stop. It's like crack.
We're killing the fucking can.
We are.
Actually, we should save a... No, let's not save any for Dory.
Where is she? She not home?
No, she's upstairs. She got work to do.
Gotcha.
I invited her to do the show. She said no.
I had a couple people comment that the episode with the guest stars, Eric and Jen, and Dory was hilarious.
It was a fun time.
Yeah. Yeah. So
she doesn't think that people... Dory is convinced that people like you and Dan and Russ and others and Drew don't want her on the show.
She's full of crack.
She's nuts.
She's full of shit.
She's making shit up. She just doesn't want to do it.
She's great on the show.
I know. That's why
she's
I keep telling her.
Funny, nerdy, and she's a girl.
She's our Robin
she's
Quivers.
She's a she. Well, I don't think she's Robin Quivers. I mean, I never really liked her.
She's our, you know, kind of voice of reason a little bit, you know.
She's a good addition to the show. She should not feel any other way, although it's hard to tell people how to feel. But anyway, whatever.
She's great.
She is great.
She just, I don't know. I don't know
why.
One
day we will have Frankie on the show.
Someday. Someday Frankie will be on the show.
It'll be good stuff.
But for now, maybe not yet. But anywho, I don't, there's really nothing... Nothing else to say about that.
I still want one of those.
Mac Mini. Oh, well, they're only like $500.
Not if you max the memory out.
Hey, man, I got that memory from Crucial.
Yeah.
I did overnight shipping, so before the overnight shipping was $90.
For 2 gigs?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got 2 slots, right?
Yeah.
So a gig each?
Yeah, DDR2. 5300 laptop.
Nice.
$190.
That's awesome. I'll have to go double check the prices on those again. Maybe I will
just
buy
got,
one.
I just got from Zip Zoom Fly. I just got 2 gigabyte kits of desktop memory, PC 5300, DDR2 667. I got a kit of 2 1-gig sticks for $75 with free shipping.
Nice.
So I bought 2 of them thinking I need the other one for a client. Now I was wrong. So I'm either going to return it and pay the 15% restocking fee or just keep it. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going
to
do with it, though.
I'm sure I'll find somewhere to use it. You acquire machines every now and again.
I don't know.
Where's the big black server anyway?
The monolith. Well, I have one pair for the monolith.
The monolith needs a memory upgrade.
yeah. It kind of, I think, well, actually, I gotta, I'm going to Crucial right now to find out what I can actually put in that thing. I know the motherboard that's in there.
What is it?
The motherboard?
The motherboard. The brain of the said device.
It's made by a little company we like to call ASRoc.
ASRoc. I don't know the ASRoc. Is that some kind of wizard?
It's not some kind of wizard. I think it's some kind of...
A sorcerer, then.
Low-price manufacturer.
A low-price... A Chinese manufacturer, you might say.
Well, I'm sure they're Taiwanese.
Well, it's extraordinarily different.
The model is the Conroe X-Fire eSATA 2.
That's a lot of letters for a simple man as myself.
Shut up! Dude. Conroe, I think, is the Core 2 Duo name. I think.
Well, I think you're off your chum.
Off my chum? So it only has 4 slots. I already have them filled with whatever. I already have two slots filled with a gig each, so I'm going to put another. I'm going to go up to 4 gigs of RAM. That's the most I believe you can even use in a 32-bit operating system.
That would be correct.
So I tried to install Windows XP 64 on there to start with, and it never worked. None of the drivers for the RAID controllers worked, even though they were 64-bit.
Did you, speaking of 64-bit goodness and such,
yes.
Did you see AMD's recent announcement of their new graphic video card line?
Nope.
Big stuff. Good stuff.
Are you ready for this, man? Here's another Tales from the Dork Side.
In HD.
I don't care.
Dude,
I don't give a
you should
damn.
Care about that because that's, I mean, you're huge into that.
I don't give a damn.
Fine.
I don't have HD here. I don't have any.
But you could.
You're right. I could.
We could. We could
just pay the money.
I don't even know what the stats of your little DVR are.
DVRR?
DVRR.
I just have the media extenders, and they can do HD.
Well, there you go.
But I don't have any HD.
Why not?
Well, I don't. First of all, I'm waiting to find out who wins, Blu-ray or HD DVD.
And that was released today. They're releasing Pirates of the Caribbean 1 and 2 on Blu-ray and two versions of the Matrix trilogy on HD.
Oh, so there. It was decided.
So this is stupid. The format wars are dumb.
Yeah. Format wars.
Give it up.
Format wars are
standards.
Are less interesting than the Star Wars.
They are.
First episodes 1, 2, and 3, which weren't interesting at all.
They're less interesting than
I think I did mention on the show that
Salad Wars.
That George Lucas.
Remember Salad Wars?
I remember Hardware Wars.
No, Salad Wars.
You remember Hardware Wars?
Instead of starring Han Solo, it was Ham Salad.
Well, do you remember Hardware
Wars? I remember Hardware Wars.
Where it was like a toaster floating
through
space, and Princess Leia had two challahs strapped to her head. That was the funniest thing. But they had a cartoon on there called, I think it was called Bambi versus Godzilla.
Bambi would so win.
Well, it's a great cartoon because it's this little like pencil drawn cartoon or like pen and ink drawn cartoon. It's just not, it's like just outlines, really.
Is it a chalk drawing?
No, it's not a. It's not a fucking chalk drawing, dude. It's not a Peter Gabriel video from 1985. Dick. It's just a simple like pen and ink drawn thing of like Bambi, and it's not even like colored in. It's just all, you know, like outlines. You know, Bambi is there just and he's kind of standing in a little field or something, and he's just kind of nibbling on grasses and kind of looking around, looking very cute, and it's kind of like rolling like. He's just kind of wondering when's Godzilla going to come around, and all of a sudden a gigantic foot comes in from the top of the screen and smashes Bambi completely, and its little legs are splayed out underneath the foot, and I think a little pool of blood starts to emerge from under the foot, and then it just starts rolling the credits.
And all the Bambis in this movie have been sacked.
You know what? That's good. I love that start. Was that the Holy Grail that starts like that? Ah, that's great. I love that. I gotta go to YouTube.
And the right giant foot here. Comes down during the. When the hell does that? There's a giant foot that comes down from the top of the screen. It's either in that beginning part or it's at the end. I don't remember. God, that's a movie I'm gonna have to watch again.
Bambi meets Godzilla. That's our Shane's YouTube clip of the week. Go to YouTube and click on and search for Bambi Meets Godzilla. And it's a classic from Marv Newland. That's the guy.
Noonan.
And it plays like this, you know.
Oh, but it's this, the Bambi this,
like,
music.
It plays like this vernal, you know, sylvan, like happy Bambi kind of music. Yeah, that kind of.
That's pure Gint. G-Y-N-T. I don't know if it's Gint or Gint.
It's Gint.
Gint.
Pure Gint.
Pure Gint.
Gint.
Gint. Sweet.
Pure Gint. By who? Verdi? I'll Wikipedia it right now. Don't be a jerk off. Do you have it on there?
I might. I know I have it in my iTunes. I just don't know if it's synced up here.
Per Gunt.
Is that, they give a pronunciation?
It was a play by the Norwegian playwright Henrik Ibsen. And the incidental music by composer Edvard Grieg.
Edvard Grieg. Peer Gynt, sweet morning.
It's Peer Gynt.
Peer Gynt?
It's because it's Norwegian.
P E.
It's Norwegian.
P E E. Hardhead. G Y N T. Sweet.
Per Gunt.
Yes, I do have it on my iPod. My
freak.
Well,
would you like to see the? Would you
it was
like
the,
to see
that
it?
Was the music that was always played when on Warner Brothers, Bugs Bunny met the or Wile E. Coyote and the Sheepdog battled. This was always the music. It's been the music over a million cartoon sunrises.
Basically, it's just Bambi's poetic. Just kind of doing his little thing, and it's just rolling the credits. And everything's by Marv Newland, like screenplay, everything. And it's getting faster and faster and faster, the credits. Here, let's just listen and see if we can and figure out what's going on in this cartoon. Just listen.
Trogdor meets Bambi.
Well, the last credit is Marv Newland, produced by Mr. and Mrs. Newland.
Nice.
And then it says, "The End" in tiny letters by Godzilla's foot.
You know what? While you're on YouTube there, search for, like...
It says, "We gratefully acknowledge the city of Tokyo."
For Godzilla. Because we all know that's where Godzilla came
from. For their help
from.
In obtaining Godzilla for this film.
Exactly.
So, Bambi meets Godzilla. You can find that if you can manage to find a videotape of Hardware Wars, okay? Hardware Wars is about, like, I don't know if it's, like, 10 or 15 minutes long, and it's just basically a kind of a Star Wars knockoff done entirely with, like, kitchen appliances or something. Mm-hmm. It's very old. This is, like, from the 70s, I think. It's got late 70s or early 80s.
Early 80s, I would
say. And then, so you've got Hardware Wars is on that tape. Then you've got the Bambi meets Godzilla. You've also got, Closet Encounters of the Nerd Kind.
Now,
is on there. And it's like some sort of Close Encounters of the Third Kind
yeah,
parody.
Obviously.
And then it has a parody called Pork Lips Now.
No!
Yeah.
No!
It's an Apocalypse Now parody also.
We were talking about the Atari 2600 today at work and came to the conclusion that E.T. for the Atari 2600 was the worst 2600 cartridge ever.
You know what? You could say that.
I just did.
Okay.
There you go.
Basically, you could say that about the ET, but I think that was really the straw that broke Atari's back. It really wasn't the worst cartridge. It really wasn't the worst game that exposed the 2600 as a obsolete or like the cartridge that made the Atari 2600 obsolete, or at least so angered the people who bought this game that they soured on the 2600 from then on. Because here's the thing, the Atari 2600 was a great system and the gameplay was excellent, okay, but the graphics were shit. But people didn't care because there were so many games and the games were fun
and they weren't expensive
right. And the system wasn't expensive either, and the joysticks were great. The thing is that nobody really said shit, even though there were some much better graphics starting to appear.
Right.
The Intellivision, Mattel's Intellivision,
ColecoVision.
Well, the Intellivision first,
right.
The graphics were vastly superior
True.
To the Atari, okay? But the fucking disc controller was awful.
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 I agree.
If you didn't own it
yeah.
and play with it every day,
yeah.
you couldn't
Forget
fucking
about it.
Use it. And so, and the games weren't as fun in many respects as the Atari games,
but
there was ColecoVision, which had better graphics. There was the Commodore 64, which came along, which had
much after that,
which
though.
Had so much. Well,
it was much after.
Well, the Atari the Commodore 64 came in like 82 or 81. That's not long after.
All right,
but it was
I
like
didn't realize it was that early.
It was like $600.
It can't have been that early. Was it really?
I think so.
All right.
Well, I'm going to the Wikipedia.
Go check that out.
Because
that's interesting.
Sure.
I mean, but then again, I mean, that was a computer, not a game console.
Yes, but I mean, the Commodore 64 released in August of 82.
Okay.
So
well, that's not 1980 or 81.
Traditionally,
what was the release date for the 7 to 2600?
Look, it 2600? Had a keyboard, so you could.
I know it had a keyboard. I mean,
so did the Atari 400.
You could play Bard's Tale.
It was the best gaming rig ever made.
Well, I don't know about the best. I mean, you know.
For its time. And the games and the volume of games that were
produced for it was great.
And the fact that
the
notion of piracy.
Yes.
Game piracy happened, I think. Mm-hmm. It was either with the Apple II or with the Commodore 64.
Commodore 64.
Well, the Apple II,
cuz I remember having cracked versions of
cracked by Sauron.
Yeah, that was one of them.
Lord Sauron mm-hmm. cracked Ultima.
Mm.
And other games.
See, too. There you go. I can't remember all their names. I still have some 5 1/4 floppies laying around
my Commodore 64 with joysticks, 1541 disk drive, and a whole bunch of games.
Does it actually work?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. We should actually have a... tell me you have Archon.
I have Archon.
Yes! I will crush you into the ground!
Maybe.
My unicorns and
bring your
air
unicorn
elementals.
Against my fucking dragon. One shot,
whatever,
and you're gone.
Whatever.
One shot,
whatever.
And you're gone.
You won't even be able to hit me.
One shot,
you
and you're
won't
gone.
Even be able to hit me.
Well, one shot and you're gone, buddy. Yeah, you better hope I don't hit you, because one shot and you're gone.
Yeah, the dragon was
especially
a little bit
nasty.
Especially
if you're on a dark square.
Dark square, yeah, exactly.
Or the board is getting dark.
Yeah. See, that, you know what? That game has never been reconcepted into an acceptable, you know, modern day.
I had a game called on my... IBM, you know, PC clone called Battle Chess.
I did as well.
But that was just chess.
That was just chess.
And then when you took a piece, they just kind of...
They animated.
They animated the taking of of Pelham 1, 2, 3.
And that was great. And for its time, the graphics were excellent, and it was cool to see all the animations. But Archon was good because it added three strategic elements to the game. The colors of the squares impacted your creature's, you know, statistics, and it gave you... You know, I mean, depending on your skill level, you could beat, you know, a dragon with.
All right, so
I don't know.
So the Atari 2600 was released in 1977.
That's
so
5 years.
It's a good 5 years, but
that's a long time.
But not back then. The pace of development was not what it is today.
Well, even so, 5 years is 5 years. When time to market, 5 years is 5 years.
The Atari VCS was changed to Atari 600 in 82. After okay, so the Atari 5200 came out in 82.
I had the 7800.
I actually had one of those. I inherited one of those from a relative, but I sold it on eBay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I gave mine away. I wonder where it went to.
I even had one of those.
One of my cousins.
The skiing game that you could
stand on the
skiing board.
Ski thing.
All right, so I was wrong. I mean, the Atari 2600 was out for a long time, but I mean, when things still though, even in 82, it was still awesome. But the thing about it is that. Things like, okay, television came along, ColecoVision, Commodore 64, you know, Apple II Plus, all these things had much, much better graphics and starting to get better games. And the game that really destroyed it, I believe,
was
Pac-Man.
Well, it was horrible.
It was a terrible, terrible
it was
port.
Horrible.
It was awful port.
Horrible.
You know, we were willing to live with that really ridiculous basketball game. Okay, that you just dribbled an enormous square, you know, and the basket was just a pole with a thing jutting out of it, you know, and you were willing to live with the baseball game where you basically had to move the entire outfield.
Oh, I remember that.
You know, the whole outfield moved. You didn't move one player. You just moved.
Everybody
once
shifted.
Once the ball went
like
into the outfield, you just started moving around. All three were moving around.
What was that? What were the games called where you would slide the hockey players around and stuff like that on the tables?
What, like
table hockey?
Table,
but not
like foosball.
No. Where you actually. You have the hockey players.
Oh, right. So you can't. You have to move all three with the ball.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 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 yeah.
So it was kind of. It was like a foosball.
Yeah.
It's foosball.
Well, that's, yeah, but that,
you're right.
Anyway,
foosball.
Whatever.
Foosball
yeah, yeah,
is what
yeah.
you're talking
foosball,
about.
Fine. Okay.
So it's, yeah. It really was foosball action in the outfield.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
wow.
You know, people were willing to forgive that because they were fun games to play. But the Pac-Man game
was
what
horrible.
People were really, really waiting for.
It was horrible.
It was really, really bad. And when you saw, like, the Pac-Man port to the Commodore 64 was perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Pac-Man port to the 5200 was perfect, but by then people were so angry.
They were soured.
And people didn't care about the 5200. they were hip to the Commodore 64, the Apple, mm-hmm. and then it wasn't too long before some of the like the Nintendo.
Well, yeah, the Nintendo and Sega came out, and thus began the game console wars. And Atari at that point was behind the curve in a major way.
The 7800 was a huge failure.
It was,
and I think it was the last.
It was, because after that they kept on talking about Jaguar, and that never came out, as far as I remember anyway. Or if it did, it came out way late.
It says Intellivision came out in 79.
Okay, there you go.
I didn't like the paddles. Hmm? I didn't like the paddles.
I liked ColecoVision.
ColecoVision, the only reason I wanted ColecoVision was I think it had the game Mousetrap.
That I don't know, but it had a great soccer game.
Okay. You know, I have to tell you, like, it's still fun as shit to play. You know, Atari just had so many great head-to-head games. Like it's still fun to play combat.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Combat, it was so fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Video Olympics, which
Wizard
is just
Wizard of War.
Wizard of War.
I love that game. It was great.
WOR.
Yeah, it was great.
That game was.
You played that.
Great.
You could play that head-to-head. It was great.
You know what game was great in the arcade? Was a game called Berserk.
It was Berserk. A great game. Yeah.
Chicken fight like a robot.
Had to be one of the first popular voiced.
I told you my idea
games.
For an event at next year's Nauticon, didn't I?
No.
I'm not quite sure how to pull it off, but it's going to be name that video game theme song.
That's going to be tough to get the source material.
No,
for.
It won't be hard.
No?
It won't be hard. I can get all the Commodore 64 material from right 1164.
Oh, yeah, that's
they
right.
have all the SIDs. You just have to convert them to, like, MP3s or something.
Yeah.
That's how I got, like, my mule ringtone.
Oh, right.
But the thing about it is that how do we play the game?
What do you mean, how do we play the game?
How do we play? Well, we talked about, you know, do you want to do, like, some kind of round robin, like, elimination tournament or something? Or just, like, a single elimination tournament, like a bracket?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Drew had an amazing idea.
What did he say?
Which was just have everybody in the room together and just do process of elimination. So you ask the first question, and it's sort of easy, and you just generally weed people out as you go along. So everyone.
Yeah, but then how do you determine who?
Exactly. Yeah. So how do you do it, right? Because
there's going to be fights. I mean, nerds get
no.
vehement about
it's
this
going
stuff.
To be a situation where the only way.
I said it first.
The only way you could play.
Yeah.
Is basically online. We basically develop a game server that, and then people just log in and be like, question one, and we'll have somebody basically putting.
Yeah, but there's less community there. I mean, you know, less social interaction for all these dorks running around.
Well, so what do you want to do? You want to like form teams or something? We could form like factions or teams. And so
clans.
Let's say we have like 10 clans,
tribes.
Factions, tribes, teams, whatever, okay? And we start playing, and basically you break it down to one winning team, and then at that point the team is broken up and they all play against each other for the
you
ultimate
know what
champion.
We should do? How about this?
And so then you could just have runners run pieces of paper up. And each one's on a different color, so we give each team a different color paper to use, and you run it up and all the you just basically the ones that you know got right are still in. The ones that are wrong
are out. Well, that's not bad either.
Or I mean, like sneaker net.
Exactly.
Foolproof.
We could have them write it on pieces of paper and turn that paper into an airplane, and then the airplane actually has to be thrown
through a tire.
Through a tire.
No, I think that's a horrible idea. But what do you think of the game?
I think the game idea is great. It's fantastic.
So maybe we could start with something. We'll start with something like we'll do like Super Mario Brothers. You know. Like something totally easy, you know.
You know what?
But then you'll get harder and harder, and you'll have things like Archon and Mule.
Yeah, see, but what would be interesting is
Civilization.
Is going to be the generational issue. Because, you know, we're actually in the older demographic of attendees at the Nauticon.
Some newer ones.
No, because it will be easier for us to make harder ones just by going older.
That's true.
I mean,
do you
remember
true,
the pitfall theme music from the Atari game?
That's very true, but I'm inclined to say who gives a damn.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Yes, anyway. Okay, I'm in.
That's cool.
I like it.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Froggy and Tiger seemed to
like
it.
Hip.
And so I could MC it. Or we all, the comm group could, you know, Dialador could MC it.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole thing could be an episode.
Yeah.
If we could somehow record the whole thing.
I like it.
Good times.
You know, I wonder if your Commodore 64 had. I don't even remember what the video connector on the back of that was. Was it regular VGA?
It had all kinds of different connectors because it had one kind that would go to the special Commodore monitor.
Yeah.
That took left, right audio and video out of like a composite cable.
Composite cable, right.
That went into the back. But it could also go strictly. It goes strictly like RCA cable to a switch box. You had to go to a switch box.
Really?
Yeah. And I think I have one.
Wow.
And the switch box would go to the, you know, the VHF.
The
screws.
The screws,
you know?
On your back of your TV.
What would you call the contact, you know, the antenna?
Terminals.
Terminal. So the VHF terminals, channel three or four. I know.
We're over time.
Sorry.
Okay. All right, that's cool.
Channel three or four. You know, whatever. You could switch it on the switch box.
Yeah.
Which channel it was.
Right.
And
is it an RF converter is what that was. Not a switch box. It's an RF converter.
No, it was a switch box because you would go back and forth.
Well, right. I understand
between,
that.
Because it had terminals for an antenna also.
Right.
So you go to antenna or to
game. Right. But that was it's an RF converter.
Okay, fine.
That's what it's called.
But it was back then it was called a switch box.
Dude.
I went to Radio Shack so many times to get new ones because I managed to break mine or whatever.
How the hell do you break those?
Well, because, you know, if I was like, we moved the TV or something and then I accidentally like...
Yanked the terminals out?
Or I don't know what the hell
I
did.
Oh, Jesus.
I didn't yank the terminals out.
Jesus.
But what happened is that the plastic that was covering the, insulating the wires that went from the switch box / RF converter, asshole.
Whatever.
To the terminals on the TV would get all, you know, degraded and shit and... Or I think we just get lost when I would put the Commodore away, and then I would do, you know, right. Whatever. Fuck. So.
Yeah, we should yank that out and fire some of that shit up.
Sure. Sure. I would love to. I would love to. What we need is a TV. Or some sort of video capture device.
I happen to have a 20-inch TV that I am not using.
Well, if you brought it over here, we could certainly set it up, you know.
In the guest room.
Well, no, there's a TV in there right now.
Really?
We could probably play in there, although there's really... You'd have to sit on the bed, and it's kind of high up like that.
Never mind.
Not going to be real comfortable.
Well, you're cleaning this this laboratory up, so there'd be some room over here, I'm sure. And that monitor doesn't work, does it?
Oh, it works.
Oh, it does. Oh, too bad that doesn't have terminals on the back.
It does not.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said... Some sort of, you know, some sort of video capture device, basically.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
But there might be some lag. I don't want there to be any lag.
Right.
Can't be any lag. So we just need a TV.
That's awesome.
If
I don't even know if the back's got terminals. I'll look and see. Might not.
It's okay because you can go terminal to coax converter.
Yeah,
I have a couple of those.
Okay.
So that's not a problem.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, I suppose we should round the show up.
All right, let's wrap it up.
You know.
Wrap it up, B. So, any last words?
Nah.
Good luck to Don.
Good luck to Don. We'll help you.
We'll try.
You're not lost.
We'll try.
We tried to be funny this show. Some of it worked, some of it didn't.
We had a good time.
All the people who didn't show up suck.
Yeah. Email us at dorks@dial-a-dork.com. Oh my god, the dial-a-dork.com with no hyphens expires in this September.
Ooh.
And when I went there, it said this domain for sale.
What?
Yeah, but by some dude in California who I guess is the you know, his business was dial-a-dork or whatever, and he maybe he quit or something.
Somebody without hyphens.
Yeah, without hyphens.
It's ours.
Maybe.
Finally. Maybe. Go to one of those
like a sniping site?
Yeah, no, you can go to Network Solutions does it. You sign up for they have an like a waiting list, like you sign up for actually buying it when it expires.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's not sniping per se, it's just, you know,
domain sniping.
Yeah.
I'm told that eBay
really?
Developing their own sniping tool.
Really?
Now listen to this.
That eBay toolbar for Firefox was the shiznit.
Well, I don't even know about that.
You're kidding me.
Well, wait. Just hold on a second.
Okay.
Supposedly, this eBay sniping tool.
Yeah.
Will allow you, if a vendor has put the same item up in 5 different auctions, like the same exact same item, but it's listed it 5 times.
Right.
He's got 5 to sell.
Does it...
It will allow you to put to like link all five together.
Nice.
And basically attempt to win
one of them.
One of them.
That's awesome.
And as soon as it wins ones,
it stops bidding on the other one. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, that's sniping in eBay has always been the least fun of that process.
It's no longer a big deal now that you've got broadband. But when you were on dial-up, it was the most frustrating goddamn thing in the world. Reload!
Damn it!
You fucking... No!
But even now, I mean, the speed of bids that comes in the last 3 minutes is just...
The first computer I ever bought with my own money, I bought on a site called auctionboard.com, which was around... before eBay, I believe. It was like back when there was like onsale.com and auctionboard.com. And it was a Pentium 200 with, I want to say, 64 megs of RAM and a 2 gigabyte SCSI hard drive with a 2X SCSI CD burner.
Was that a Micron PC?
No, this was just a white box PC.
Just a white box, wow.
It had a CD. I was the first one on my block with a CD burner. And then once I got the CD burner, I came to realize that the CD media was pretty expensive.
It was.
But I was able to find it on some of these auction sites and stuff. I was able to get like 25 CDs for about $1 a piece.
Which is hugely expensive compared to today.
Well, it's about four times probably more than four times what you would pay today. But
and that's not even counting inflation.
Well, not necessarily though. I mean, like you can get 25 for $10 at Micro Center or something like that.
Yeah, and that's of good ones. That's in today's dollars.
Okay, so back then it was like 25 for $25, but where it was normally like $50 or $60.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I was actually getting like a huge bargain at the time. But then I also came to discover that I made a lot of coasters.
Mm.
I basically, once I started a CD burning process, I had to walk the fuck away.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Not touch a goddamn, because there was no burn proof.
No, uh-uh.
Link or whatever.
Oh, God. God forbid it if you had forgotten, left your screensaver on or some stupid shit like that.
Let me tell you something, though. You know, I always liked that Sony CD burning software that we used at Noteworthy. Remember the CD burning station back in the cloud environment?
No.
Well, you know what environment? Down by John Rice's office?
Yeah, no, I know where you're talking.
And there was a CD burning station
there.
Yeah,
yeah.
They used this Sony CD burning software, whatever, that must have come with the drive. But one thing that I always liked, and I didn't know how it did it, but it always it identified by brand the media you put in.
Oh, well, I mean, Proxio does that too.
It does?
Yeah.
Since when?
It's always done it on my computer.
Oh. Well, I'm an idiot.
No, it's not that you're an idiot. I mean, each of those medias are embedded with the manufacturer and serial number.
Yeah, whatever.
And you can do disk info on almost any of that stuff.
Oh, shit.
What?
Tim Wurzel put in a question at 7:24.
Fuck. Read it real quick. We'll answer it. Well, you know what? Save it for next time, because this show's really been awash with Don calling in. And I mean, we were totally nerd and talking business rather than doing entertainment. So we should apologize. No. Don't read it now. Save it for next week.
Okay. Let me just read the PS.
Okay.
Tim, I'm sorry. We'll read your question next week. Well, if we do a show.
Next week.
I wasn't looking at the email at all. I was totally lost in emotion. Because, P.S., the show last week was brutal. Up until today, I haven't been able to laugh. Immense pain was the result due to surgery, and last week was one of the funniest it's been in a while. Well done.
Thank you, Mr. Wurzel. We appreciate
Tim.
It.
Thank you, Tim.
Jeez,
I think
man.
We need to be quiet here.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
And Dan said, trying to listen. Site isn't coming up, though, and you're not on AIM or G-Talk either.
Yeah, because we suck.
What do you mean the site's not coming up?
Maybe our domain expired.
No, it didn't expire. I don't know if something happened when I had to redo the thing. And
what thing?
It's supposed to be working.
Okay.
Well, who knows? We've got a lot of we're pausing here. So tonight's show, we apologize for the business content. It was necessary and extremely dorky. And for any small business owners out there, maybe you'll have gleaned something from the process of figuring out how the heck to do server migration. Otherwise, we had maybe 10 minutes or so of entertainment. So, with that, we're out.
Are we? Wait, I'm confused. I don't want to end the show yet because there's some technical problem here.
Well, nobody's listening live, and we can just fix it after the show.
You're darn right no one's listening live because it's like not even registering on the fucking...
On the fucking thing, yeah.
God damn it. That pisses me off.
Have we really been going for an hour?
No, I started it early.
Oh, okay.
I started early.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
All right. Bye. Bye.
You get all those pimps together. It was live.